thank you for your calling. Thank you for the calling of salvation, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, there are powerful messages in each of those songs that we have sung, and just the weight of one line could keep you praising God or thinking about the goodness of God for a good term of time, the goodness of the Lord. I'm glad that when we come to the house of God, we come with a purpose. Not only to check in and check out, but we want to connect with God and for Him to connect with us. And it's already happening today. I'm going to ask you right now if you would just pray toward that connection. Pray it personally, and we want others, but just pray it personally. God, we need your connection today. We want to plug into the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Lord, your presence is here, and I thank you for that presence. And Lord, it could be easy for this to become ritual and a tradition, coming on certain days at certain times. But God, it is more than that, and we sense that today, and I know that you have an intention, that you want to deal with us, you want to help us, you want to strengthen us, you want to speak to us, you want to guide and shape our lives and impress our thoughts and guide us with your counsel and your spirit and strengthen and save, Lord, and forgive and remit. You want to do it all, Lord, and so now the only way we can have that is through your spirit. Your spirit wants to move in and through us, and so we ask for that connection today in Jesus' name. From the 29th Psalm written by David, and evidently had some of these nature experiences himself that he is going to use as analogies for how powerful the Word of God is. Psalm 29 and verse 3. The voice of the Lord, in other words, the Word of God, is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The God, the Lord, is upon many waters. Referring back to that thunder, he said, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic, full of majesty. The voice or the word of God breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, which was a mountain, Mount Hermon it's called in the New Testament, makes them move like a young unicorn or wild animal. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord, his word, shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovers, in other words, can go everywhere, even into the depths of the forest. And in his temple, we're in one of those places today, in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. And I preach to you today the thunder of his voice. And you may be seated. That's what thunder can do. It can get our attention. It seems to come sometimes as a surprise and out of nowhere. His voice demands that kind of majesty also. I began to pray recently, and I knew I was headed into prayer, but the first words that just flowed out of my mouth was, I want to hear your voice. And that's, even though I hadn't pre-thought that, that's never a bad prayer to pray. God is speaking. Hear me, church. God is speaking through His Word, through preaching and teaching of His Word, through the gifts of the Spirit, and in many other ways. Anytime you and I read or hear His Word, God is speaking. We do not have to wait for the audible voice of God that may rumble, and at times when we talk about God speaking, we think it may sound something like thunder, and it could, and it did in the Scripture. But when God speaks, sometimes it's in the subtle way of you just reading a portion of Scripture, but just the same, God is speaking. Are your pastor reading a text and preaching upon that text? God is speaking. We can hear His voice when we hear about His voice. That is what you're going to hear today. You are going to hear a message about His voice. I do not know this morning all that God is wanting to speak to those of you gathered here and those of you who are viewing online. But I do know what can happen when He does speak. We can't speak for Him and do not know what He wants to say always. But we can read about what can happen when He does speak, and that's what we read here in the 29th Psalm. David says in verse 3 that voice of the Lord is upon the waters. In Scripture, waters are representative of humanity and people. So God was saying, my voice can be spoken through my word to people, through people, and upon and over people. God speaks that way into our lives. If somebody gives you a verse of Scripture that has come to their heart and mind and says to you, sister or brother, the Lord impressed this upon me, you can take that as the voice of God speaking to you. Or again, in any personal time of devotion, as you read His Word. You know, really, His Word needs no accompaniment. His Word doesn't need 2,000 people. His Word doesn't need 20 people. His Word doesn't need musical accompaniment. All of that is good and can happen, but His Word alone is powerful. At times, His voice is the voice, hear me, His voice is the voice of others. Godly people that are in our life and that speak to us the truths and the values and the principles of the voice of God. That's what David was saying when he said, my voice is upon the waters. You and I as humanity are the waters by analogy in Scripture. And God said, I've sent my voice. Aren't you thankful for every way and every time that you have heard the word of God and received it? There is creative power in that voice. God's word is a creative word. In the book of Genesis, it keeps referring. Verse 3 says, and God said. And then verse 5, and God said. And God said in verse 6, that's when He's making light and separating the darkness from the light. And then verse 8, and God called, or God's voice spoke and named heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. He was naming and arranging and ordering and organizing days and nights and schedules and structure. The Word of God will order our lives. God can organize our life. When what looks like a very jumbled mess, and many times we may have several options that rest before us, but if we will operate and decide by the voice of God and by the word of God and listen to that word through the written word or the voice of others or preaching or teaching, whatever, God is going to order and name and arrange. about us. He is a creative God and a creative word. And when we hear that word, this is going to happen this morning. When we read it, when you quote it, when you claim it, His word can create peace. All it takes is the word of God. All it takes is a word from God. You and I have found many times we come up with words, or we try to come up with words, and we want to come up with things to say, but all it takes is a word from God, a word that He lays in our hearts, or a scripture that He draws us to. Oh, be sensitive, church. Be sensitive to the reading of the word of God. He can create wisdom. His word can create rest and restfulness. When you read verses of scripture, like when He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His word, all it takes is somebody to read that when they're in a turmoil, and God will bring rest into their spirit and into their heart. That word can create a change. I want to encourage somebody that needs some kind of a change, maybe in your life or in a situation. Get a word from God. Go to the scripture, and God can transform that situation. I'm going to tell you, I know definitely, and what I feel here today, His anointing, this works. You just quote a scripture. You just read a scripture. You do what God has told you to do, and His word can create a transformation. Once again, we try to figure it all out, and we worry about it, but all we need is the word of God. It's powerful. It's the voice on the waters. It's a creative word, as it was just the same in Genesis chapter 1. That word called can deliver. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, you know what He did? He quoted the word of God. Hear me, somebody. God wants to deliver you from some temptation and some oppression and some bothersome spirit that is trying to bother you. Give Him the word of God. It's what Jesus said. He said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone." Man shall not live by the ideas and the philosophies of this world alone, but they're going to live. They're going to be strong by every word of the Lord. And then He says, Satan, who had taken Him to a high mountain and said, "I'm going to give you all the power that you see all around you in all of this world and all of this nation, if you will worship me." And Jesus turned. If anything tries to get you to worship it more than you worship God. And right now I'm talking about more than singing and lifting your hands. But if you give more time to something than you give to God, you need to quote the word of the Lord. For it is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." God deserves more time than any job. God deserves more commitment than anything we can purchase and buy. Is quote the word of God. It is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." And then when He tempted Him to jump off of the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus answered and said, "Thou shalt not tempt." Where did He get that? He was getting that out of the scrolls and out of the word of God that we know of as our Old Testament. Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Here's the bottom line. The word of God can deliver you from any kind of temptation. Instead of watching that kind of movie, read the word of God. Instead of reading some book or some other material that would take your mind in the direction of temptation, quote the word of God. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Go back. I'm going to tell you, this word is powerful. This word, it stops Satan right there. You quote a word from God and it'll stop the devil right in his tracks. It's a word of power. The storm came. Jesus was in the boat and they awakened him. And Mark chapter 4, verse 39 says, and he arose and he rebuked the wind. He spoke again. The wind was blowing against him and them. But he spoke against what was blowing against them. Hear me now. And I know that in our flesh we are fearful, but do not let the enemy back you into some little corner somewhere because of a temptation or because of a failure or because of something that you have encountered, and that wind blows against you, the storm of your life. But you use the word. You have the word that Jesus had. You just speak against. I'm talking about bravery right now. I'm talking about courageous speaking right now. I'm talking about something that really works. The word of God. There's none of us that have enough in ourselves that we can battle Satan or even face the things that we face in this life. But the word of God can face it and can overcome it. And Jesus spoke, and he said, the Bible says he's talking to the sea. Sometimes it's going to seem odd when and where you will quote the word of God. You know, aren't you glad the church isn't the only place we read the word of God? Or that we quote the word of God? Or that we listen to the word of God? There are going to be times when it won't be church and it won't be, quote, natural out there on the boat in the midst of a storm. But Jesus starts speaking and he says to the sea, he's talking to the wind and the waves. You ever been praying and somebody catch you and say, who are you talking to? Not ourselves when we're talking to the Lord. And that unseen, that sea was raging, but Jesus just talked right to the problem. He just spoke right to the raging waves. Here's what he said, peace. Literally translated, that word means hush. Kids don't use this. Shut up. I'm using that on the devil this morning. Shut up. Can we talk that way to the enemy? Yes, we can. Now, I will say we need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. We need the authority of the Word of God. But I feel like the enemy has backed the church and backed some of us into a corner so where all we can do is squeak or mumble. He wants to muffle us. And I'm not preaching against masks. I'm preaching against spiritual masks right now. Peace. Hush. Mute. In fact, what it is, it's a reference to involuntary stillness. Involuntary stillness. In other words, it didn't volunteer to be still. Your problem and the enemy is not going to volunteer to let you go. But you have the word that is upon the waters. It's peace. Stop talking. Be mute. Hush. God can muzzle. And he used that word next. Be still. Which means to muzzle. To cool. When do you hear for me to preach the rest of this message like this? I'd hate to preach it that way. Muzzled. But that's what Jesus did to the winds and the waves and what he can do to any storm. Listen to me. It could happen for you on a Monday. It'll happen for you on a Sunday. It can happen for you any day, any time. God can muzzle the waves and the wind. The voice of the Lord, verse 4 said, is powerful. It's a reference back to that thunder. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Thunder is just one of those natural signs of the power of God. His voice, his word. It's really kind of a neat sound. If you can get in a good safe place and a good protected place, there is something majestic about the rumble of thunder. The breeze rustles and the rain patters down on the windows and the roofs. Hail rattles when it falls. But we hear God the Almighty in that continuous peal of thunder. That's how powerful the word of God. Sometimes his word pierces. Sometimes his word soothes us. Sometimes his word stabilizes us. And sometimes, like the thunder, it shakes us. But hear me right now. Everybody under the sound of my voice, online and here, it's important that we respond and not refuse. Can I tell you, this is more than just another Sunday sermon. The message we heard earlier from Brother Spall was more than just another Sunday sermon. There is a trap. One of the traps of being faithful and coming and serving God for a number of years is we can't just go through the traditions and go through the motions. And it's just another set of songs, or it's just another message or another lesson or whatever. But it is important that we respond every time that voice of thunder speaks to us. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. I appeal to you today with that appeal. See that you do not refuse the one that is speaking today, the voice of the Lord. For if they, he's talking about Old Testament Israel, who refused to listen to the warnings and the admonitions that they received from Moses and others, if they escape not, who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You can turn away from Moses. You can turn away from Aaron. You can turn away from pastor. But we better not turn away from him that speaks from heaven. And he said in those first two words of that verse, see to it. Make every effort to avoid refuse. Whatever you have to do to get your mind on the word of God as you're reading it. Whatever you have to do to get into a regular routine and habit of reading the word of God. See that you refuse not. See to it. Do your best. Make every effort. Make every effort. I make an appeal, and I know I'm the guy up here now. I'm not always the guy. Make every effort to take heed to the word of God. Don't let God or make God have to climb over checking your Facebook post or checking on the latest update or texting or whatever else it is. He could climb over it if he wants to, but he doesn't. He leaves it to us. He leaves it. See to it that you do not refuse, that you do not depreciate or cause the value of God's voice to go down in your life. See that you do not avoid it or decline away from it. That's what happened to Israel, and that's why he was writing this scripture. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. There were great shakings, there was thundering, there was lightning. On Mount Sinai, when God showed up and gave, I'm going to tell you what, that's some kind of sermon preparation right there. Whew. God's snuck up on me before during study. And he did it again in preparation for this. But that's some kind of experience. Moses is receiving a word from God, and there's lightning and there's thunders and the shaking of the world. Whose voice then shook the earth. And yet he's saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only. God is serious about this, but also the heavens. God wants to shake this earth. And he wants to shake everything around us. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. As of things that are made, man-made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remove. His word, this voice of thunder, can shake and remove situations. Claim verse 27 today. His word can remove and shake things that are made, that are man-concocted, man-made. God can shake enemies. He can shake sicknesses. He can shake circumstances. He can even shake people. And all that will be left standing according to him are those things that cannot be shaken. And I say to you today, you have something that cannot be shaken. Woo! You have an experience. No matter what comes against you, no matter who says it, no matter what happens, no matter what comes in sickness, there are some things that cannot be shaken. And we've received it. When you hear, read, or receive a word from God that shakes and moves you, I miss our altar services, and we've arranged. I'm just going to say this. And I'll be glad when we're able to full-fledged. But it has made me wonder and scratch my head that during an altar service, many are engaged, but yet there are some they'd rather engage in the lobby. They'd rather engage with a friend. When you hear or read or receive a word from God that shakes and moves you, respond. When it's moving, he said in verse 5, that voice breaks the cedars. Those were some of the noblest and mightiest and strongest trees. And when the voice of the Lord hit those, just like a lightning strike, just like a storm and wind blowing through, those trees were broken. The voice of the Lord can break things that are mighty and strong in our life. In fact, one historian said that the cedar tree was one of the longest lived trees in that area, the Mideastern area. In other words, they were the trees with the longest history, and they were trees that lived the longest. But the Word of God can take care of something that has been there a long time. Hear me, everybody. The Word of God, His word of release, His word of forgiveness, His word of mercy, His word of power can remove something that has been in your life a long time. And the enemy would like for us to believe that it's always going to be this way. I'm telling you, it is not by the authority of the Word of God. Do you ever get to feeling helpless like that? I do. We're set. We're in for it. This is the way that it's always going to be. It's one of those tall, mighty, strong cedars on one of the mountains of my life. And I probably will never change, and I'll probably never get out of this up and down. And the situation that I have will probably never change. But verse 5 said, Brother Jason, would you put it back up there? I want somebody to look at it and claim it. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. And he wasn't satisfied to just say it once. And God's space in the book is valuable. And he wouldn't waste space in the book to say something another time if he didn't want us to know emphatically. God wants to break some cedars that have grown, and they're tall and they're high and they stand above other things in your life. And that's what it looks like that you're going to be named and identified by. But no matter how long it's been there, God can break it with his word. Let's thank him for his word right now, would you? I want every heart in here. We're engaged, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, church, for engagement. Go ahead. That's it. Thank him at home. Go ahead. Thank him for his word. Give him a personal thanks. That's it. Put it in your own way, in your own words. He can break it. He can break it. 107th Psalm, verse 19 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, in their distress, in their anguish, they call to the Lord, and he saves them. God doesn't fool around. He will save them. And then verse 20, look what he does. He sent his word. He sent his word. God said, I'm gonna send it. It may come through a preacher, may come through a pastor, may come through a devotion that you read this week, but just know, just get your mind set even right now. Every portion of scripture I read this week, I want to soak it in. Have you ever done this? I've done it as recently as this morning. I was reading Daily Bread, and all of a sudden, I had to look back and say, what did I just read? God, help us to slow down. I really mean this. God, help me to slow down. They cried to the Lord. He sent his word. The Bible says that word there is he healed them. In other words, he cured them. The root of that word means to mend. To put bones back together, to put skin back together, to reposition a shoulder blade. He healed them. He mended them. He cured them. The Word of God has a mending and a curing power. Hear me today. Claim and proclaim the Word of God over somebody's life, over a situation, over relationship that needs to be mended and healed. I repeat that. Claim the word of God. Find a scripture. Proclaim that word over your life or another life or a situation or a relationship that needs to be mended, healed. And this is where God showed up with thunder back in that office a few hours ago. In essence, he basically said, you need to add this. Don't stay angry or bitter toward a parent, toward your family, toward a child, toward a friend, toward a spouse. Don't stay angry. Forgive. Oh, but nobody understands. Jesus understands. That's why he's given this word. This admonition is the thunder of his voice. We go on with bitterness and gossip, and we go on and we have grudges, and we won't completely mend and heal. We won't let the word mend and cure and heal situations because we want to hold on to our anger, and we want to damage, or we want to hurt, or we want to injure again. And so we find little subtle ways. We don't come out and say it. We find little subtle ways to get the probe in and get the dig in, and just a little word, a little two-way word that can be taken either way, and it just goes suddenly, and we whisper to others and we talk to others. Don't stay angry and bitter. We need God to thunder. Sometimes it takes a shaking because our humanity rises up and we say, well, you don't know, or you didn't experience it. And that's true in many cases. Most of us have not experienced the same experience that others have. But there's a blood that remits. There's a God who forgives. And we are to be in his likeness no matter what they say about us. No matter how they have treated us, don't hang on to that bitterness. And that person may have a lot of marks. I'll just stop and say that. God doesn't mark iniquities, he said. I think we need to quit counting. Peter got to counting one day, and he said, God, how many times do I read that scripture, Michael? How many times do I have to forgive him? How many times? And he throws out a number as only Simon can do. Read it. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, I switched the order on him. Not his fault. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, until 70 times seven. That sounds like thunder to me. You know, do it once and I'll forgive you. Do it second time and I'll really pray and forgive you. Third time, you're on my list. You got one of those lists too? We need to start scratching people off our list. It's thundering in here today. The thunder of remission and repentance. And I know some hurtful things have happened to us. There's some hurtful things. I'm not minimizing the hurt, but I am emphasizing the one that can mend and cure it. The one that can send his word and heal it. I'm going to tell you, this old book works. This old book is the right instruction. Michael, would you read from Ephesians 4? Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Be kind. Tender. Heart of flesh. Heart of I've been there, and some of you have been there. When we said things like, it's going to take a long time. Or I don't think I'll ever. I'm just saying, refuse not the voice today. It would be horrible to go to hell from an apostolic church or with an apostolic background because of a root of bitterness, because of something we couldn't, as they say, let go of. I'm not preaching that it's easy. I'm preaching that it's thunder. It rattles the windows of our soul. Shakes the doors. It destabilizes the floor underneath us. But he said, forgive, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's thundering today. The voice of the Lord is breaking cedars that have deep roots and tall branches. Whatever you have to do today, obey the voice of the Lord. I believe there's also, it happened last Sunday during our missions conference. I believe the voice, that voice, as I said, it does various things. It calls sometimes, it invites. Said, would you come closer? Jesus was weeping when he said, how oft I called and they wouldn't come. How many times I spoke to them, they didn't come. They didn't respond. I am preaching to people, and I really mean this, and I could call names right now if I needed to, and it's not just for those few names, but there is such a heavy and direct presence of God. There is, I'm talking to everybody right now, there is purpose in your life, and God has a purpose. And he has already spoken it, and he will speak at other times. Refuse not. Don't devalue his voice in your life, but that let that thunder roll through your soul. Last Saturday night, needed right down here. I needed something from God. I needed something. He thundered in my spirit. He broke some things that needed to be broken. I don't even know all that they were. There's nothing that came to my mind then or comes now. I just know the voice of God gets on the waters. He gets on humanity, and he can break things we can't see. Stand together. Wherever you want to pray, you pray. We need to go under the thunder and the voice of God. You want to kneel, if you want to stand, if you, however, I know you don't need the instruction. The Spirit's instructing us. The voice is speaking. The voice is talking. Your voice, God. Would you just begin to pray all over this room from wherever? Hallelujah. That's right. Talk to him. Talk. Shut everything else out. God, we need your voice. We need the voice that David wrote about so long ago. But it's the same voice. It's the same voice. Jesus. Pour out that bitterness. Ask God to help you. Moving us, Lord, moving us. is moving. Go ahead and pray it through. Go ahead and pray it. God, putting ourselves in a position to hear. you get down to the end of this section of verses, it changes. And it's not God speaking only. In the last part of verse 9, it says, "And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Once God has spoken, then we can speak back his promises. Hear me, somebody. Speak back the promises of God over your life and the life of others. We hear enough negative from the enemy and from others. Speak back the promises of God. We're his workmanship. Hear me. Hear me, sister. Hear me, brother. You mean something to God. And no matter what your life has said to you and what others have made you feel like, you do matter to God. And this is one of the engines that the enemy is using to work and to batter against the people of God. He doesn't demean us only. He uses us to demean ourselves. Speak back his promises. After God speaks, he said the people are going to speak of his glory. Some of you can speak a word and it'll be a thunder. Somebody is needing a thunder in their life, and you can speak that word because of God's power. I received a text this morning. A man doesn't attend here anymore, but he texted me. Didn't have any idea. Here's what he texted. A little saying. "The devil whispered in my ear, 'You're not strong enough to withstand the storm.' Today I whispered in the devil's ear, 'I am the storm.'" If you have the word of the Lord, you have his thunder, his power, his glory. This week, you need to tell that enemy that has been badgering you, causing you to depreciate yourself and others, "I am." You say, "Oh, pastor, I don't know what may happen." I do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Could I get an amen from somebody? We believe this word. We believe the God that spoke this word and the power of this word. I am your storm. Woo! We're not going to sit idly by and let this world talk its talk and the enemy speak his voice and not raise up the voice of God and say, "Thus saith the promise and the word of God." Would you stand together and let's give this great God, we ought to thunder back to God right now with a praise. To your glory, Lord. To your glory. To your glory. To your glory. To your glory. I'm going to tell you, you never know. There was an officer sitting in our driveway as I pulled in this morning, about 7:30. I always tell him, "I'm glad when you're here." I kind of wish they'd put the whole force here. They keep stealing catalytic converters. We put cages around it. Brother Bobby put cages around us. And I think the catalytic converters are still on there. I'm not sure. But then they busted into our shed. So we got a target on us here for some reason. So I told him, I said, "I'm always glad when you men are here." And he said, "Pastor," we introduced ourselves to one another. His name was Steve. Officer Steve and Pastor Steve. He said, "It's been a rough morning." He said, "A tractor trailer overturned coming from Illinois. They don't know what happened. Driver might have gone to sleep. Turned over and over, went into the other side." And he said, "He's still not responsive now. We need to pray for that family, okay? Whoever that is." But I could tell it troubled him. Troubled him. And he named a few other things that was happening. He just said, "It's been a rough morning." He said, "Pastor, my father was a pastor. He said, when I sit here, he said, I always feel safe because I feel like I'm close to the presence of God. Whoa. And I took that as a little answer to prayer because so many times I pray, God, that people that are driving by or walking by or living nearby, let them see this as a redemption center, a place of restoration. He said, I just feel safe. I feel safe. I feel safe in the church, don't you? Oh, all that's going on around us. But we got a voice that is greater than the voice of this world. Would you thank the Lord another time for his goodness in your life? Get specific, maybe. Just get specific and thank the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness to us.